This is Scenic Roots. I'm Ray Bassett. This week, we said one can make a difference. And we would like to say thank you to so many who did. On Tuesday, you helped us raise $25,301 to support WUTC and help the Chattanooga Area Food Bank feed people in need. We would like to salute our partners at the food bank by again sharing their work in their own voices. Here's Abby Marcus, event planner and community engagement coordinator at the food bank, which covers 20 counties in southeast Tennessee and northwest Georgia. Abby, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
There's more than one way to get involved with the food bank, and we're talking about food drives and fundraisers. Tell me first about online food drives.
Online food drives, also virtual food drives, are very popular right now, and it's because of everything that's going on in the world. The difference between the online fundraiser, online food drive, and the typical food drive is that this one is online and you collect monetary donations through your friends and your families, your coworkers, anyone that you want to share it with. So how you would create an online fundraiser, online virtual food drive, is by going to our website and clicking Get Involved. And under that tab, you'll see Host a Virtual Food Drive. There, you can set up your own personal page. You can customize it as you wish. And when you are done, a customized link will be created for you to share as you wish. This way, you can collect the monetary donations, and it's very important to mention here that $1 helps us provide 4 meals. So that way, when you're sharing this with your friends and your family and your peers, they can donate as they want to.
Tell us more about traditional food drives, how they help provide essential supplies for your programs, especially right now, given the conditions we're living with now.
Traditional food drives are also awesome, really keeps us afloat. So whenever somebody donates a can, it goes directly into our emergency food boxes that goes right out our back door. So that's why it's so important right now, is because so many people are needing our help. So by donating that can, you are immediately helping those in need.
And then there are fundraisers that are partnerships, as you are partnering with us and we are partnering with you today.
Yeah, absolutely. So for those who want to host a third-party event, those are awesome because you're getting the word out on behalf of you, and you are helping us by collecting the funds, by raising awareness. It is awesome what third-party events can do and how far they can go within our community.
You need volunteers.
Yes, absolutely. Right now, we need volunteers more than ever. And I want to stress that we are following the CDC guidelines. Everyone has to wear a mask, gloves, we're social distancing. We're making sure that our volunteers and our employees are safe, especially during this time. So we just ask that if you have the free time, if you are willing, please come help us volunteer. One volunteer hour helps us provide 92 meals. So anything that they can do would just be so grateful for. So when people volunteer, there's a variety of different things they can do. They can sort the cans that go into our emergency food boxes that get delivered from our traditional food drives. They can do that, or they will be helping in our emergency food box area, giving the food to those individuals who are in need. We also have another area of opportunity to volunteer at our mobile distribution sites. I do want to stress that these are no touch. Therefore, the volunteers will just be putting the food in the client's car, and we're social distancing there as well. There's no touch, so they don't have to worry about that. And it's another awesome opportunity.
All right, Abby, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Ray.
Dory Cooper is Nutrition and Programs Coordinator at the Food Bank. Dory, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You work with schools on programs such as Sack Packs, mobile pantries, and in-school pantries. Start by telling us about Sack Packs.
Our Sack Pack program provides bags of food for children to take home on the weekends to help combat weekend hunger. So that's for children that may not have access to food when they're not getting those necessary school meals.
And then mobile pantries?
Our school mobile pantries typically take place right after school hours, and that allows families to come directly to the school during, usually during pickup time, to also grab groceries, and those happen once a month. They're able to walk away with quite a bit of food. So it's a really great program to connect parents to the school community even more, typically run by teachers, a very positive impact on the school and the families.
And then tell us more about in-school pantries.
In-school pantries is one of our newest programs. Right now it's operating in 2 schools, and we're hoping to expand that throughout this year. And in-school pantries provide food that the schools can give out to children and families with a little bit more flexibility than the SACPAC program. So they're able to choose different foods that go into their bags, as well as do their own food drives to support the pantry even more. So it gives the schools a little more autonomy and allows for some creativity in their programming.
How does the food bank ensure these programs offer flexibility and variety to adapt to the needs of communities and schools, even before COVID and now certainly during COVID?
We've been dedicated, like you said, before COVID, but especially now, to making sure that our programs meet the needs of the communities and schools we work with. And we work with schools throughout our service area in Chattanooga, but also rural Tennessee and North Georgia, and each community has a different need. So I work very closely with checking in multiple times throughout the year with our schools, asking them questions about what foods are being accepted by the children, what they would prefer, trying to make sure that we're providing food that the children are consuming as well. That's our number one priority. So that looks different everywhere. And then, of course, every school is different, especially now with changes due to the pandemic. We are working with different school systems, different hours, different days, opening, closures. And so we want to make sure that we're still able, no matter what, to get food to children and families. So that looks different everywhere, and it's been a little bit of extra work on our part, but it is a huge priority of us as the food bank to ensure that children are getting food.
And these are part of the preparations already in place to continue these programs, regardless of whatever may happen next with COVID and how that may change school schedules again down the road.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're in touch very frequently, always coming up with creative solutions and working with partners that really do care about their students and communities and are dedicated as well as we are to making sure that we find a way to get food to children.
And as a nutritionist, how do you balance nutrition with providing foods that kids like to eat?
That's definitely a balance that we work on throughout the food bank. But with kids, as most people know, that can tend to be a little bit more tricky. So the way that I personally try to balance it is, one, we try to do all of our programs based off the USDA MyPlate standards. But I also try to choose foods that excite kids. So, you know, I may do Honey Nut Cheerios so that they get a little bit excited about a slight treat, something that they'll consume. And then also make sure I have those healthy foods in there too, like applesauces, whole grains, trying to do a balance because we want the kids to be excited about these SACPACs and in-school pantry programs by providing food that they like, but also making sure that it has that nutritious value as well.
And tell us about the garden.
So on site at the food bank, we do have a beautiful teaching garden. This garden space grows produce that we use in our emergency food boxes on site. So that supports that program and provides the fresh food grown right there on site. And then we also use it for educational experiences as well. And right now that's slightly limited due to limitations from COVID, but we are working on plans to continue to do that even through the pandemic. And it's also just a beautiful reminder to visitors and staff that providing nutritious food to our community is a priority that we have at the food bank.
All right. Dori, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Sarah Beth Riggs is Agency Relations and Program Manager for Hamilton County at the food bank. Sarah, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell us more about the Emergency Food Box program here in Hamilton County.
Our emergency food box program, it comes from our voucher writing partners here in Hamilton County. So we have multiple voucher writers who support our emergency food box program. So what happens is a client will call in to 211, United Way's help hotline, and they will say that they need food assistance. And before COVID, They would be referred to a voucher writing agency like a church or a nonprofit, and they would receive their voucher there and then come here to the food bank. However, due to kind of crazy circumstances, we have moved to pretty much exclusively virtual vouchers. And so what that means now for clients is when they call in to 211, they give that information directly over the phone to the United Way representative, and they're given a voucher number, which they can then come here to the food bank to redeem, and they get a full cart of food, and they can do that once every 30 days.
And in response to the increased demand due to COVID, capacity was tripled.
It was, yes. So we were seeing a pretty standard amount for several years, but when COVID hit, our capacity did triple. And so while it fluctuates, it varies a little bit from day to day, our operations team has done a really, really incredible job of preparing us for should that increase happen again.
Tell us more about this no-touch distribution style that you were talking about.
So as clients come to the food bank with their voucher number ready to go, they're met at the door. No one is entering the building. They give their voucher number and their name outside of the building. And once that's been verified, we have a volunteer who will come out through our other back door and bring them a cart of food that the client then can load into their car. So there's no contact. Previously, we had a shopping experience for clients, but to really protect them, we have pre-bagged and boxed everything ready to go. So it's a pretty quick in and out for clients now.
And let's talk about community food pantries, those people and organizations behind charitable food programs within neighborhoods to provide that help close to home.
So normally we work with a regular pantry, which would be a single church or a nonprofit. What really sets a community food pantry apart is that it's run by a group of different people. So that could be different churches coming together, nonprofits, organizations, neighborhood associations, and all of those people are coming together to provide a food assistance program for their community. So with this model, we're hoping to be able to create more accessibility for clients as their food, instead of having to go around the city trying to get food assistance, the food will be right there in their neighborhood, working with organizations that they already know and trust or have friends who are a part of, and it really helps create more accessibility for that food.
And again, if people want to get an emergency food box, what's the first step?
Should you or anyone you know need any food assistance, you would call United Way's hotline, which is 211. And when you ask for food assistance, they'll ask for some basic information, your name, address, date of birth, that kind of thing. And once you have given them all that information, they will give you a voucher number, which you will then bring straight to the food bank. And when asked, you will just give that number and your full name, and you'll receive your food once every 30 days.
All right. Sarah Beth, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Keisha Hamilton is Food Rescue Retail Coordinator at the Food Bank. Keisha, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You lead the Retail Rescue Program that supplies the emergency food boxes. Tell us more about that.
I do. So the Retail Store Donation Program, basically what that is we partner in our 20 counties. We partner with all the national and our local retail grocery chains. So places like Walmart, Food City, Food Line, Publix, Aldi, that type of thing. We actually partner with them. And what that does is the food that used to be years and years ago before this program started, that used to be not marketable necessarily for their customers, something that they would be putting on their shelves. So it used to go in the garbage basically years and years ago. We are now set up to where we rescue that food and it's going on clients' tables that day or the next in most cases. So it's still perfectly edible food. It's just not something that was marketable for them to put on the shelf. So basically, some examples of that, these are the examples I normally give, like say a banana. As soon as that starts to spot, a lot of retail locations will pull that from their shelves. We still know that that's a perfectly fine edible banana. So that will actually be donated to us. The same with like bags of fruit. So say there's a few bad apples in a bag or a few bad oranges. Instead of that getting thrown into trash, it's actually donated to us or one of our partner agencies in our 20 counties. We pull out that bag and donate the rest to our clients.
And approximately 80% of food rescued from retailers goes to your partner agencies across that 20-county service area. Rescued retail items, they took a dip after COVID hit because of the increase in consumers buying food. Tell us more about that.
It did. So I'm sure you experienced this yourself, as well as the people listening to the program. You walk into a grocery store and the shelves were near empty for a while. So that also affected us. Our retail locations were having issues keeping their stock supplied. So whether that being because customers were buying up that product, especially those shelf stable items and meat items, just not knowing if they were going to get sick, if they were going to be stuck in quarantine, and if for how long. So the retail grocery chain actually experienced a boost in sales, which was great for them, not so much for us. So we actually did experience a little dip in the beginning. I would say the first 3 months of the pandemic, we went down over 20% in donations. But thankfully, we are starting to experience those donations come up again and kind of level out to where we used to be. So we're excited and just grateful that things are starting to come back.
And retailers also support you year round. Tell us how.
They do. So with this, we like to think of it not just as rescuing that food on a day-to-day basis, but also that those stores are community partners with us. So they are on the same mission as us. They want to feed those hungry and help eliminate hunger in our region as well. So with this, we're able to partner with them throughout the year with things like food drives that they do for us, register campaigns where they raise money for us. And the great thing about it is what they're doing, it stays local right there in their communities. So being at the Chattanooga Area Food Bank, we service 20 counties. So we can't physically at the Chattanooga Area Food Bank go out into those 20 counties, but we have our partner agencies already in those communities, those being churches, food kitchens, that type of thing. They're right there in those communities. So everything that these stores are given is staying right there and helping those folks. We all like to know that wherever we give, it's helping our local communities. And those retail stores love that. They love helping, giving back to their community. So,
all right, Keisha, thanks so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Mr. Bassett. I really appreciate you.
We appreciate you too. And everybody there at the food bank.
Thank you.